live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Emma Rose Callaghan with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, care home residents will be among the first to receive the new COVID-19 vaccine in Northern Ireland. A new study has revealed that Letterkenny Institute of Technology has the highest proportion of disadvantaged students nationwide. And four men accused of falsely imprisoning and assaulting Kevin Lunny will stand trial next month as scheduled after the attempt to have the case adjourned was unsuccessful. And Kenny Harkin will be here with all the latest in sport at around 5:15. But first in news, another 9 people with COVID-19 have died in Northern Ireland, and there were 397 new cases. Nearly 2,200 people were tested in the space of 24 hours, with an 18% positivity rate. Over the past week, 602 children have got the virus, and 241 people over 80. Care home residents will be among the first to receive the new COVID-19 vaccine in Northern Ireland. Health Minister Robin Swan says they will be in a top priority, with deployment to care homes expected in the coming days. The first doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine arrived in the north on Friday, with vaccinations due to start receiving the jab from tomorrow. The British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen were due to speak on the phone this evening. It comes as Wednesday has been set as a deadline by the EU to reach a Brexit deal. Fisheries and competition between the UK and EU remain the outstanding issues. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said he believes things are in the final stages ahead of this week's EU Council meeting.
Clearly we're in days now at this stage because we're running towards the end of the year, and the deadline is the end of the year. Obviously, in terms of any agreement that would be arrived at, it would need ratification by the European Union Parliament. But essentially, the end of the year is the deadline. Obviously, the next number of days will determine whether we have an agreement or not.
Meanwhile, the British government says it's committed to upholding the Good Friday Agreement in Brexit talks. It says it's fully committed to implementing the Northern Ireland Protocol. Boris Johnson's government, said it would be willing to remove parts of the Internal Market Bill to ensure goods can move safely from Northern Ireland. Four men accused of falsely imprisoning and assaulting Kevin Lunny will stand trial next month, as scheduled after their attempt to have the case adjourned was unsuccessful. Mr. Lunny, a director of Quinn Industrial Holdings, claims he was kidnapped by a gang near his home in County Fermanagh on September 17th last year. Courts correspondent Frank Greeny reports.
The defence sought an adjournment for several reasons, including their claim that the law on the retention of and access to mobile phone data needs to be clarified. Mr. Justice Tony Hunt disagreed with their contention that the law is in a state of flux, and he said today that the court would decide on the admissibility of evidence at trial. The three judges also rejected their request for more time to go through the evidence and said any issues in relation to the destruction of a van seized as part of the Garda investigation could also be dealt with during proceedings. The prosecution claims DNA evidence was found inside the van before it was destroyed in an accidental fire at the facility where it was being stored. GSOC is investigating the circumstances surrounding the fire after one of the accused men made an allegation of evidence being planted. The case will be mentioned again before the court in a fortnight, but as it stands, the trial is now expected to get underway next month. Frank Greeny, the Special Criminal Court.
The lack of maternity leave for TDs and senators sets a very bad example for society. That's the view of one TD who said it is time for new laws to address the issue. Maternity leave for public representatives is back in the spotlight after Justice Minister Helen McEntee revealed she is pregnant. It makes her the first cabinet minister in the history of the state to be pregnant while in office. Social Democrat TD Holly Cairns says when the issue was raised before, some representatives thought being on maternity leave might hamper their chances at an election.
The resistance from other public representatives, I think, really came from that fear that they would be, they would lose out at the polls as a result of having a family or taking leave, that it's kind of seen as a, you know, a negative thing. And, you know, in reality, if anybody really stops and thinks about it, we know that it's not, and it's an important thing.
A new study has revealed that Letterkenny Institute of Technology has the highest proportion of disadvantaged students nationwide. The study by the Higher Education Authority shows that around 25% of the 5,000 at LYIT are categorised as disadvantaged based on their home address. Just 3% are categorised as well off. This compares with a national average across the higher education sector of 10% who are disadvantaged. LYIT also has the highest proportion of students reliant on grant aids. President Paul Hannigan says the report demonstrates the success of LYIT and shows that a postcode does not affect opportunities in education.
We just celebrated last week 20 years of our access office on campus, and that was specifically set up to support students coming from, you know, disadvantaged backgrounds, students with disabilities, students from different ethnic groups, etc. And there's been significant work done in that area over the last 20 years, and it was really a celebration of that, and we will continue to do everything we can in that area. But I think, you know, if people are looking at this report, or the government is looking at this report, I think they should be celebrating the success of places like Letterkenny IT and the effort that has been put in to create opportunities for people and to make sure that people's academic achievement is not dictated by their postal code. I think that's really important. And I think that if you're looking for levels of investment to continue to eradicate inequalities or whatever, it's institutions like ourselves that deserve more support than the ones that are actually in a more affluent position.
And the hope will be that once the Technological University comes into being, along with the Connacht Ulster Alliance, GMIT and Sligo that you're working with at present, that we'll see even more opportunities presented and presented to more students from disadvantaged areas, and hopefully those figures and that tradition of bringing education to those who perhaps otherwise mightn't have it will continue in the Northwest.
Yes, we certainly, that's part of the mission of the new Technological University. We won't be losing our heart and soul in terms of driving access for individuals who want to proceed to whatever level of achievement they want within the university, and we're working very closely with Sligo and Galway to make sure that we preserve that tradition, and we make sure that that's the objective we have here in terms of serving the people of the region and the students of the region as well.
Detectives from the PSNI's Tourism Investigation Unit, supported by District Police in Derry City and Strabane, have conducted a search and arrest operation in the Brandywell area of Derry today. Trish Laverty reports.
A 21-year-old man was arrested and has been taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite, where he's currently being questioned by detectives. Derry City and Strabane Area Coordinator Chief Superintendent Darren Jones said the search and arrest operation today was in relation to an ongoing investigation into the activities of the new IRA and to ensure the public are kept safe. Police say a mobile phone and a notebook were seized during the search, and the man who was arrested is being questioned in custody.
A local councillor has hit out at those responsible for damaging a police vehicle during a weekend attack in Sion Mills. Just before 8 p.m. on Friday evening, police observed up to 40 young people who had gathered inside a building close to Mill Lane. After speaking to a number of the youths, police returned to their car to find the back window smashed, one of the wing mirrors ripped off, while damage was also caused to the boot. The vehicle is now out of service as a result of the attack. Councillor Stephen Edwards says the Old Mill has become a hotspot for antisocial behaviour, but it's hoped that extra security measures can be introduced.
Having spoken to the police yesterday and been at the site myself, police have assured me that they are working with the football club and the cricket club down there to try and fix the fence down there, to secure it, to make sure that youths aren't able to get in there. But don't, as you said, saying as a quaint village, but it has a long problem with antisocial behaviour. The mill's been burnt a few times down there, and statutory authorities have failed to deal with that. But I do believe, as a councillor for the area, that the message has to be put out there that antisocial behaviour isn't acceptable in the wider Sion Mills area. People are fed up of it. And I've called yesterday on a multi-agency approach involving the PSNI, Police and Community Safety Partnerships Council, community organisations, youth workers and actual parents themselves. They try and deal with it once and for all. Otherwise, they're just putting a stick and brass over what is a chronic problem. And one of the things, having spoken to the youth worker in the area, it seems like a lot of these youths are not from, say, Mills themselves, but from surrounding sort of townland. So I think that's an issue that needs to be picked up, because the people of St. Mose, as I say, are fed up with it. We are hopeful, as a party, we've been working with the current landowner and people looking to develop the site. Hopefully that will involve some sort of security at the Herman site, which will deter the youth using the area for drinking and other things as well. Don't, but as you say, hopefully that can't happen. It can't happen quick enough, and we need to get security in there. And until that happens, I don't think any security will be provided at the site.
A Donegal deputy is calling for survivors across access to the remaining commission reports on mother and baby homes. The government is being urged to provide the details of the sixth interim report of the Commission of Investigation and the final report to the former residents and survivors of the homes. Deputy Pringle says supports for survivors must also be in place when the reports are finally published. He says the issue has been dragging on for quite some time, and those affected need and deserve answers.
It's been a very long time, and putting a lot of stress on people to actually waiting for these reports to come forward. The minister has now received the final report, and he informed me in the Dáil last week that he is waiting until early January to actually publish the reports, and he's going to make the report available to the survivors first of all, so that they can have a heads up on the report before it's published in the media, which I think is the right thing to do. It's difficult. Hopefully he'll be able to keep it out of the media for the next over the next period, so that the survivors can actually be the first to see the report.
Another thing that you're looking for in tandem with people being able to access this report is supports for them thereafter.
That's right. That's vitally important, because every time these reports are published and stuff like that, it's probably going to bring back feelings and the sense of loss and people that people have in relation to their time in the mother and baby homes. And you know, so the supports need to be in place to ensure that everybody can get the support that they need and be able to get through what is going to be a very difficult time for them one way or another. Even if it provides all the information they're looking for, the sense of closure and that will be required to be dealt with as well. So I think that's vitally important.
10 primary schools in Donegal are set to benefit from an allocation of over €500,000 as part of a summer work scheme. A total of €31 million is to be shared among 275 school projects nationwide under the scheme. The money will go towards the likes of roof works and toilet facilities. Minister Charlie McConlogue says the funding gives schools a good lead-in period to plan and deliver on the projects for summer of next year.
It's a really important scheme, and there'll be 10 schools across the county which will be able to benefit primarily from roof works and also toilet works over the course of this summer through this €500,000 of funding. And it's particularly important, I think, that the decision is made early now in December before Christmas to give schools time to engage, make preparations and engage with companies and tender for this work. Often in the past, it wasn't announced until later, which left less time to prepare. But one of the really important successes over the last few months has been getting schools back operational from September, and our schools and staff deserve tremendous credit in relation to that.
And as you touched on, it is a good time for that money to be announced so that principals and other staff can start planning and get the job done sooner rather than later over the summer months.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of work involved in terms of preparing for this work, in terms of the design and also the tendering, and then making the arrangements within the school to ensure it can be done during the summer and be completed in time for students going back at the start of September. So the lead-in time is important, and the summer work scheme is one of the main mechanisms for doing significant works on existing schools. So it is really important in that regard, and I know for the 10 schools across the county who will be benefiting from it this year, it will be very welcome indeed.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the latest Donegal gear online or click and collect at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And we cross over to sport now with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Emma Rose. We'll start with soccer and the draw for the World Cup qualifiers for the World Cup in Qatar. The qualifiers is just getting underway in Zurich. The Republic of Ireland are in pot three and could once again face the likes of Denmark, Wales or Georgia. Qualifying matches will be played between March and November of next year. Locally, the Premier Division club Waterford had their appeal against the decision on player eligibility dismissed by the FAI Appeals Committee. The Blues made the appeal to the FAI after Shane McElhinney of Fan Harps was allowed to play the final game of the season. The Harps defender was due to serve a suspension in the second week of November, but the FAI ruled he could play due to matches being brought forward by a week. The committee's decision means that Waterford's 1-0 defeat to Harps that week stands, and there'll be no alteration to the final league placings. And Gary Buckley has signed a contract with Sligo Rovers for 2021. The club have announced today that the 27-year-old who joined the Bit of Red this year and ended up as a first-choice centre-half, forming a pairing with John Mahon. Buckley impressed throughout the year and commits to Rovers today, saying he is staying at the showgrounds with a target to win trophies and make qualifying for Europe a regular occurrence. Cross Channel English FA have launched investigations into fans at Millwall and Colchester booing players taking the knee. Both incidents took place ahead of their respective Championship and League Two games on Saturday. Clubs have until Thursday to respond. While on the pitch, Southampton, they have the chance to crack the Premier League's top four this evening. They make the trip to the Amex to face Brighton. Kick-off theirs at 8 o'clock. Elsewhere, goalkeeper Kepa Arrizabalaga will start for Chelsea in tomorrow's Champions League game with Krasnodar. The Spaniard lost his place in the first team after a number of errors, with Edouard Mendy brought in as a replacement. Manager Frank Lampard is backing Kepa to bounce back from his recent disappointment.
This game, I think, is a game for Kepa, who's training brilliantly well, acting brilliantly well. And I mentioned when I spoke about him a while ago that these periods will happen in players' careers, and sometimes they make you stronger and better at the other end.
Up in Scotland, two men have been arrested for disorder offences after protesting outside Celtic Park yesterday. Neil Lennon's team drew 1-1 with St Johnson behind closed doors at Parkhead, meaning the trail Scottish Premiership leaders Rangers by 13 points. Police Scotland say the protests were prohibited under Level 4 coronavirus restrictions in place in Glasgow. Former Celtic midfielder Murdo McLeod, he believes some poor recruitment over the summer has heaped more pressure on manager Lennon, but McLeod says it's not just Lennon who should be getting the blame for such a poor start.
Neil's the one that's been getting all the stick. It's that the players themselves have got to look at themselves, every single one of them, and just look and say, look in the mirror, what am I not doing that I used to do last season?
Moving on to Gaelic games, and Galway manager Tim Rabbitt says his side were given little or no respect by the LGFA. Yesterday's All-Ireland football semi-final with Cork was moved from Parnell Park to Croke Park at the last minute. Rabbitt says his Galway side weren't given near enough time to warm up for the match.
LGFA officials, the referee, also straight away saying you've got six minutes to throw in. Like, I approached both the LGFA officials and the referee, told them it was completely unacceptable, that we needed more time than that. We were given little or no basic respect at all. They just kept insisting that it has to be 6 minutes, the game had to go ahead, and the game had to go ahead. That's my only regret throughout the whole day, that I didn't walk off to take the girls basically off the pitch at that stage, because it was completely unacceptable the way we were treated.
Moving on to rugby, and Ian Henderson will miss Ulster's opening Heineken Champions Cup match with Toulouse. The lock sustained a knee injury during Ireland's victory over Scotland on Saturday, and he needs to see a specialist. Rob Little is also out with a back injury and joins Billy Burns, Lewis Lurick and Robert Balacone on the sidelines. And Jonathan Sexton, he's set to be fit for Leinster's Champions Cup trip to Montpellier. The Irish captain sustained a dead leg at the weekend. Flanker Will Connors is also back in contention, but James Ryan is a major doubt as he undergoes the return to play protocols. In golf, it's been confirmed Royal Liverpool and Royal Troon will host the Open Championship in 2023 and 2024 respectively. The tournament calendar has been reshuffled after this year's event was cancelled due to the coronavirus pandemic. Royal St George's in Kent will now stage it in July in 2021, with St Andrews the venue for the 150th Open in 2022. Finally, for this evening in snooker, the Scottish Open has got underway today. Michael Holt defeated Jared Green by 4-1, and Matthew Stevens, he defeated Dave Gilbert by 4-3. Mark Allen, he's in action this afternoon. He takes on Jimmy White. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Emma Rose.
Finally in weather, cold this evening with clear spells and a few fog patches, mostly dry with just isolated showers. Cold tonight with frost and some fog patches at first, but fog clearing later in the night as northwest winds freshen. Good clear spells early on with showers will spread from the north later. Lowest temperatures of -1 to +1 degrees. Donegal County Council say all Donegal routes will be gritted this evening. And the closing headlines, care home residents will be among the first to receive the new COVID-19 vaccine in Northern Ireland. Health Minister Robin Swan says they will be the top priority, with deployment to care homes expected in the coming days. A new study has revealed that Letterkenny Institute of Technology has the highest proportion of disadvantaged students nationwide. And four men accused of falsely imprisoning and assaulting Kevin Lunny will stand trial next month as scheduled. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Your next local news bulletin will be in just an hour's time. You can listen back to a main podcast of the evening news on highlandradio.com. Back again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, December 7th. The death has occurred of Cara Diver, Nae McLaughlin, to Campbell's Court, Claddy. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Wednesday in St. Columbus Church, Dunnyloop at 11 a.m, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The house is strictly private at the request of the deceased. Due to government restrictions, the Mass and interment are private to the immediate family. The death has occurred of Michael Call, 79, Ballina, Filcara. Remains are reposing at his home from 7 this evening. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Wednesday, going to St. Finian's Church, Filcara, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral is for family and close friends only. Rosary tomorrow night and the funeral may be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/Filcara Parish Church. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or McLafferty Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Katie O'Donnell, née Shevlin, Alta Heron, Downings. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday, going to the Church of St. John the Baptist, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, which can be viewed live on Meva Parish Facebook page. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only. The death has occurred of Mary McGeever, née O'Farrell, 41 Beechwood Road, Letterkenny, formerly Tora Glen, Carrigart. Funeral from her late residence tomorrow, going to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for funeral mass at 1:30, which can be viewed on St. Eunan's Cathedral webcam. Interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if wished, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. In compliance with current HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Dee Boyle, 65, Ardconnell, Glenties. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Removal from her residence tomorrow, going to St. Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of James McGuinness and Sons, funeral director. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. And the death has occurred of Maura McHugh, Carnmore Road, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral tomorrow at 12 noon in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Mahari Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired, to MNDE, care of any family member, or Sean McGlynn, funeral directors. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral is private to family and close friends only.
Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online. Your voice, your station.